Yes, we've been talking about heaven, hell, eternity, this type of thing. And we need to talk about resurrection also. Amen. We have something, I think, unique in what we believe among the religions of the world. Some of them believe that they're going to come back, reincarnate. But that isn't what resurrection is. Amen. Let's look in the word. Now, you do not find the word resurrection in the Old Testament. But we find that some of the brethren in the Old Testament did believe in the principle of resurrection. I found the book of Job, and I want to read a couple of verses from chapter 19 in Job. And if we turn to that and to verse 25. And Job is saying, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Now, the book of Job is a rather mysterious book. We don't really know how old it is. It's probably older than Abraham. Nothing of the law of Moses is mentioned in the book of Job. So it is a very ancient, a very old book. And yet it is the word of God. Job, the ancient man, he had a belief. Somehow he believed that he would be again. He believed in resurrection. He believed that he would stand again, even after his death, even after the skin worms ate his flesh. He believed that in his flesh he would see his Redeemer. Now, this word Redeemer, I find a very interesting. I thought, well, I'll look this up and see what Redeemer means. Interestingly, this word Redeemer means my nearest kinsman. In other words, it's the same that we heard back in the book of Ruth, that Boaz was to be the nearest kinsman. Now, the meaning of the next of kin, the nearest kinsman, next of kin, what this means is that he will be the one to redeem my land after I die. He'll redeem it so it won't be lost in the family, and that he will marry my widow. He'll take care of her. He'll bring her into the house and she'll be completely cared for. She won't be left to become poor and unable to take care of herself. So he says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." In other words, he's saying that his next of kin would be Jesus Christ, of course. He didn't know his name at that time, but he said, "I know he's alive. I know he lives." Amen. And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. So there is Job talking about the latter days, the end time in which we believe that we're living at this time. Now, Daniel said something about this, although I don't think he used the word redeemer, but there's a very interesting in the 12th chapter of Daniel. So if you want to turn to Daniel, the 12th chapter, and we'll see what the word says here. Let's start in the first verse. Amen. And I believe Daniel is getting this word from an angel at this point. And he says here, "And at that time shall Michael stand up." Well, brethren, we know that we have Michael standing up for us even now in Revelation chapter 12. Michael and his angels are at war against the dragon and his angels and his cohorts. Michael shall stand up, that great prince that standeth for the children of thy people. Now, the children of thy people are not just Jews, brethren. They're we who believe in the Lord, we who accept Jesus Christ. Amen. We are the people of God. Stand up for thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. So we can't get away from this. There will be a time of trouble, brethren. It's not meant to put you in fear. It's not meant to make you cry and tremble, but it is a fact. It is a weather forecast. There's coming a storm. Do you want to know that it's coming, or do you want it to just strike you without being known? If you know it's coming, you can prepare for it. So there will be a time of trouble. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. So when we talk about judgment, we know that all you have to be found, amen, and delivered, is to have your name in the book of life. What is it? The hope. Yes, that is our hope, really. Amen. Now, Daniel goes on with what he's hearing. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. This is resurrection. All right, he uses the term awake. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. So Daniel seems to be talking about resurrection, not just for the just, but some kind of resurrection of the unjust. Something is going to happen. They're going to be brought from the grave also and brought into some form of judgment. So there will be a resurrection on both sides. Amen. And they that be wise, amen, that's going to be us, right? They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So there's going to be many, many spiritual stars that are going to shine for all eternity. Amen. Don't you want to be a part of that, brethren? Amen. So let's move on to John. We have another verse in the fifth chapter of John, I think we can look at. And this, of course, would be Jesus speaking. Now we've heard from Job, we've heard from Daniel. Now let's hear from Jesus. Amen. And maybe look in verse, let me look at verse, look in verse 25 first. Now, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is." Whoa, wait a minute. A future time, but that time is here now. So what is Jesus saying? The hour is coming. In other words, there's both. There's a future time of resurrection, and there's a time now. Amen. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. So who was the first one to hear the voice of the Son of God and come forth? That must have been right about the time Jesus was saying this, that Lazarus. What did he say? Lazarus, come forth. Now somebody, I heard a preacher one time say, well, it's a good thing he said Lazarus first, because if he had just called come forth, then everybody would come out of the grave. So he limited just to Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. Nobody else, just Lazarus. So Lazarus came forth. Amen. I like that. Yeah. Because his voice had the power to bring resurrection. Now, I don't know what happened to Lazarus. I don't know whether he had to die again or whether he got caught up. The Bible doesn't say. He might have just been raised from the dead for that time, for a season of time. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Amen. Now, let's go down to verse 28, okay? Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which that all are in the graves shall hear his voice. That's all, isn't it? The unrighteous, the righteous, all are going to hear that voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, permanent life, that is, immortal life. Amen. And they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, I don't know what you've always thought. Maybe we've missed this verse, but there is also a resurrection to the other side. But it isn't going to be a very pleasant one. It'll not be a resurrection to life. It'll be a resurrection to the second death. All right? Let's go through this a little bit. I wonder if we could go next to 2 Thessalonians, or 1 Thessalonians, I mean, 1 Thessalonians. We'll just go through these verses and then we can talk about it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, the context here of 1 Thessalonians 4 are the verses that are used by those who believe the pre-tribulation rapture. So let's bring this into context. What we're talking about here in 1 Thessalonians 4 is what we find in the last verse of chapter 3. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at his coming, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Now, that word coming is not just, he came and he went. No, this word coming is the parousia, which is the real McCoy, shall we call it, second coming of Jesus Christ. The every eye shall see coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? That's what we're talking about here. And, by the way, these chapter numbers were not here when Paul wrote this. So chapter 4 does not mean it's a different, completely different thought than the last verse in chapter 3. All right, let's go move on from here down to verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those who have died before us, amen, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. What did I hear Rita say a minute ago? Resurrection is our hope, amen. Pre-trib rapture is not our hope, brethren. I taught that one time, and a lady came up to the podium afterwards, and she says, Brother Mark, you've destroyed my hope. I said, no, sister, I have not destroyed your hope. Your hope is in the resurrection. Amen? Your hope that your name is written in the book. Yes. Amen. So, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So, there are people who have beliefs and religions that have no hope, brethren. They do not believe in resurrection. Some of them, and there's a religion that even claims to be a Christian type religion that believes that when you die, you just go into Nothingville. Just like a dead dog or a dead cat. You cease to exist. It says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So we read the verse over here in the last one in chapter 3, his coming with all the saints, right? Not coming to take the saints away, but coming back with the saints, bringing them back. Amen. In other words, they're all on their way back to earth from heaven, wherever that heaven is. It's a spiritual place. Amen. So one of the things that of the apostolic foundational teaching is the teaching of resurrection. Now, Paul has to make sure in his teaching that he gets this really straight, because there were many Jews that did not believe in the resurrection. Jesus addressed these Jews who did not believe in the resurrection. Amen. And what were they called? Go ahead and say it, Larry.
Sadducees.
Yes. And as I heard a brother say one time, and that's why they were so sad, you see, because they didn't believe in resurrection. Amen. All right, so let me finish some of these verses here. God will bring with him, okay? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming. Now that's the parousia again. If there are some of us still alive here, when we see him coming with the clouds, amen, we see with our eyes, amen, but we're still alive, we shall not prevent them that are asleep. In other words, we won't be ahead of them that are asleep in their resurrection. So they're gonna get resurrected with this coming with all the saints. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. This is the parousia now. With the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, let's go back to this teaching on the pre-trib rapture. They have that this is a secret event, okay? Take the picture again, the married couple laying in the bed. She's righteous, he's unrighteous, amen? She gets taken, he wakes up suddenly in the morning, she's gone. Didn't hear a thing, nothing happened, didn't see anything, just zip, she's gone, quietly, secretly, gone. Well, does this sound like a quiet, secret thing? The voice of the archangel, shout from heaven, trump of God, dead in Christ rising. This is a very noisy, open event that everybody on the earth is going to be aware of. Amen. Nobody's going to miss this. Nobody's going to wake up and say, oh, I wonder what happened to her. So this is not talking about pre-trib rapture. Let me read on. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, if you want to believe in rapture, you can believe it right here, but it isn't going to take more than about a minute, and we're going to be joining with these saints that are coming down, and just a great happy reunion. Where? Right here in the air where we believe, where we breathe. Not off on some planet somewhere, amen? Not off in some distant clouds, but here. Here's where it's going to happen, amen? So, this is the timing now of the Lord's parousia. So let's go on now to 1 Corinthians. And we'll see what the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians. Okay, right after Romans, I'm finding it here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, you know this whole chapter 15 Everything here is about the hope of our resurrection. Maybe I should start with verse 12 here. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how shall say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? I find it hard to believe that Paul has to preach this, that there were Christians that did not believe in it. What kind of belief did they have? What were they, Hindus or something? What did these Greeks believe in? Anyway, Paul is laying it down straight out. Resurrection, because Christ is raised from the dead, we are going to follow him in resurrection. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. You can't have it both ways. You can't have a resurrected Christ and not have a resurrection of the saints. Okay? If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain and your faith is in vain. What are we doing preaching then if there's no resurrected Christ? You know, I think there were already people that put the word out that resurrection was just a big fake. It was just a big conspiracy theory. And you know, the Jews, and you know what I mean by the Jews, the ones that were called the unbelievers among the Jews in the time of the apostles, I'm sure they put this word out. Oh, there was no resurrection. The apostles, the guards fell asleep. The apostles stole the body, ran it off and buried it somewhere else. So there really was no resurrection. But Jesus made it clear to the apostles that there was a resurrection. We'll get into some of those verses here later. Amen. So if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain and your faith is also in vain. You know, I should also ask those that believe that only those, that there are some that are destined and can't do anything about it to be saved. There are some who are destined to be sent to hell. Then our preaching would also be in vain. If they're going to be saved, they can be saved without my preaching. So there are certain things, brethren, we have to believe that any man can be saved. Any man has an opportunity that he isn't born destined for hell or anything else. Amen. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Well, we have to believe that Christ was raised. And if Christ is not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are not in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. That's it. No more. Gone. Just fell asleep. That's it. Never hear from them again. No. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. We have that hope in Christ. Now, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now, the key word here is the first fruits. He's the first. The very first, the first fruits. Every resurrection is based on this one. For since by man came death, Adam, everybody since Adam, amen, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. By what man? By Jesus Christ, amen. Okay, verse 22. For as in Adam all die, we're all sons of Adam, aren't we? Sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. So what did we inherit from Adam? We inherited death. It's about 100%, isn't it? Death. We inherited the DNA of death from Adam. Amen. As in Adam all die, even in Christ shall all be made alive. So we've got something new in our inheritance now. For every man, listen to this, for every man in his own order. First, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ in his coming. Now, wait a minute. Every man in his own order. What is the meaning of this? Every man, is there an order of resurrection? Well, let's look into this and see. Every man in his own order. Amen. Christ the first fruits. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Let me read two more verses here. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. How many of you believe that death is our enemy? Now, if Christ doesn't do anything about it, he's going to win. Death is going to win if Christ doesn't do something about it. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected, which did put all things under him. So, it says here in verse 23, every man in his own order. Let's look at some of the order. How many orders are you aware of resurrection? How many can you name? You've probably heard me before on this, Larry. How many are there?
Four or six.
Four that I can identify. All right. Let's go and see if we can identify them. All right. And the verse that we read right here, verse 23, the first one is Christ. That's the first order. Okay. Now go to Matthew 27, and we'll find another resurrection. Now, this is after the resurrection of Christ, Matthew 27, verse 51. All right. It says, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. Now, not right there at the cross, but after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So there were quite a few witnesses. Now, who were these people that resurrected? Were they the unbelieving chief priests and Pharisees and the and those that were fighting against Christ? No, I believe it was some of those. Probably, I'm speculating now. Probably some that died during Christ's 3.5 year ministry, but who believed on him. Hey, maybe John the Baptist was one of them, you know? Died believing in Christ. They were called saints. Now, I don't have any evidence that Abraham came or Jacob or Noah or anybody like that, but it says that there were saints. So here's number two, many saints. Now, come over to Revelation chapter 11. You know where we're going with this. And we're going to find a third order of revelation. Now, you can give me a hard time and say, no, 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 but here it is. Verse 11. Well, let's just say that they were slain, okay? We'll start in verse 8. And their dead bodies lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and the kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. All right, but they're still dead, even though they're not in graves. This is the new world order that thinks the last minute that now we got the better of them, we're really going to win this thing. Amen? And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Amen. So there is another order of resurrection. Probably see it sometime in our days, in our generation. If we don't die, amen, if we live a few more years, I believe we're either going to partake of that or we're going to see that happen. Now, back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're going to find what we just read. I'm going to read it again. 1 Thessalonians 4. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Wait a minute. Yeah. It's got to be chapter 4. So, we'll go back to verse 15 or 16. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, it says first, but in my thinking, that's actually among the first. These four must all be among the first fruit of resurrection in an order, but still among the first fruit, because there's another resurrection coming at the very end of time. Amen? Back to 1 Corinthians 15. There's a few more verses I want to pick up here. We quit a little early on that chapter. Here we are. Start in verse 42, okay? So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. All right, the body that you have right now, the bodies that we're walking around in, bodies that our soul are in, it's a corrupt body. I mean, it's kind of under a curse. It's deteriorating. Things are wearing out. Boy, when I get my age, I find out all kinds of things are wearing out, not functioning the way they did when I was 20. Amen? So it's sown. That means it's put in the grave. It's buried like a grain of wheat, sown in incorruption, but raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. My, how we are aware of that. It is raised in power. How many of you need more power? Amen. How many could use more? Well, we could all. Amen. It is sown a natural. Oh, here's the key now. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Well, now, Brother Mark, what is a spiritual body? I thought a body is a body is a body. No, not necessarily. We have a spirit inside a soul. A soul is a type of spirit inside of a natural body of flesh. What is our resurrected body going to be like? It's not going to be a body made of the same kind of flesh, natural body that we have now. It will be a spiritual body. This is what Paul is saying. Amen. He says, there is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. Well, we don't encounter many spiritual bodies these days, do we? I don't know that I've ever encountered one. But the word is that we have. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which was spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. Now, basically, that's the way our understanding goes. We start off young, and we comprehend natural things. There comes a time when somebody tries to teach us spiritual things, and if we're open, we'll learn. But if we're not open, we're going to remain a carnal man all of our life. Amen? There are certain people that just cannot comprehend spiritual things. You know, the Word of God comes on three levels. You've heard that before. It comes on the natural level. So the natural level generally is true. All right, you hear a prophecy, and there's a natural interpretation of that prophecy, and the natural man looks at Scripture and he says, "Well, that's already been fulfilled. That was fulfilled way back in the days of David. That's not going to be fulfilled again." Well, there's a spiritual interpretation of that prophecy, amen, and there's a fullness interpretation of that prophecy. Now, Jesus made that three levels very clear when he told the disciples that John the Baptist was Elijah. He said, if you can receive it, Elijah has already come. And they knew then that he talked about John the Baptist, because he came in the power and the likeness and the spirit of Elijah, although he didn't do the miracles of Elijah. But he came in the power of the word. Now, Jesus said, but Elijah will come. All right? So that means there's another Elijah coming. An Elijah made up of a company of believers that are moving in the power of Elijah. A third Elijah. Jesus made it clear. Elijah will come. So the spiritual man can understand these things. The natural man says, no, it's already been fulfilled. No more. All right. Let's read on. Where did I end up here? I need to go further. So as is the earthy, so are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Heavenly means spiritual. Amen. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. That body that you're in right now cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It has to be transformed. It has to be changed. It's natural, flesh and blood. Can't make it. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In other words, there are some who will be alive, who will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We will be changed in a moment, yes. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I wonder what that trumpet is going to sound like. You know, I have a feeling that that trumpet is going to be something that's even going to be heard by the unrighteous. Whatever few unrighteous are left here on this earth, they're going to hear that. They're going to know that something is happening. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Let's read the next verse then too. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on like a coat, put on like you put your shirt on, amen? Put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the last verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. In other words, don't give up. We've got some hope here, brethren. It's not always going to be the way it is. Amen. For as much as ye know that your labor in Christ is not in vain in the Lord. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Amen? Because Paul isn't finished here with it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house, what's our earthly house? What we're walking around in, our flesh, eat, breathe, sleep, drink, taking care of it, nurturing that thing called our earthly house, of this tabernacle were dissolved, all right, if it were annihilated, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly. How many of you have been groaning lately? Amen? Feeling the pain of this earthy house. Amen? We groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon. I like that word, clothed upon. It's like we're putting on a garment. We're naked. We would be a naked spirit, a naked soul. See, that's what demons are. They're a naked soul, disembodied soul. They're naked. I think the Greek word in the New Testament is gunos. They're naked, running around naked. Amen? Clothed upon with our house, which is, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened not for that which would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Well, we'll just read the last verse here too. Now he that hath wrought us for this, for the selfsame thing is God, he worked it for us, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. What does the earnest mean? The earnest of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the down payment. All right? He made a down payment. He's going to finish paying for it. So we have the Holy Spirit as evidence of a witness that this natural body isn't going to end up just corrupted and that's it.
All right, what we talked about these new bodies. What are these new bodies all about? Okay, what are they going to be like? Jesus gave a clue. Well, he gave several clues, but first of all, he gave the clue here in Matthew 22. And I believe he was talking here to some of these Sadducees who are so sad, you see, that did not believe in the resurrection. So here they have, in verse 23, it says, the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and they ask him. So they gave him this parable about a man that married a wife, and he died, and so his next of kin, his brother, took the wife, which is supposed, you know, which is the way a kinsman redeemer is supposed to do. He took the wife and married her. Well, he died. I mean, there were seven brothers, and each one in his order took the woman, married her, and then finally all seven of them died. So the Sadducees said to Jesus, well, in the resurrection, which they didn't believe in, see, they thought they threw an impossible question at him. In the resurrection, which one of these seven men is going to be the husband of this woman? You know, which one will have her? Now, Jesus came back with this answer. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scripture, nor the power of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Until he gives this answer, would you have known? Would you have known the answer he's going to give by from scripture? I have to admit that I wouldn't know. I would be a little baffled at this question. But he says, you should have known, it's in scripture. Well, I'm not sure where. Maybe I have to study the scripture a little better. All right, so he says, for in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. So spiritual bodies then apparently are without gender, neither male nor female. That's a spiritual body. See, we have natural bodies, and in the natural, we are male and female, and we have to obey the rules of male and female while we're here in the natural. We can't just say, oh, well, I'm a spiritual body. I'm going to change my gender. No, you can't. He made them male and female, and male and female is what rules here in the natural realm on this earth. But male and female does not rule in the spiritual bodies, okay? Now, you can try to figure that out. I don't know. There's some mysteries here. I'm just taking it at its word. Let me give you two more clues here, and then we'll quit with this. Let's look in the book of Luke. Now, we're talking about after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he demonstrates what a spiritual body is. But did they believe it? Well, they had a hard time believing it too. Luke 24, let's look at verse 36, okay? Well, let's start in verse 33. Amen. Verse 33 says, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared unto Simon. And they told what things were done in the way. Oh, these are the two on the road to Emmaus, okay? and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted. It means they were afraid. And supposed that they had seen a spirit. All right, now let's get it quite clear. Jesus' resurrected body was not a spirit. It was a resurrected body. Amen? And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not, hello? They yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye any meat? Do you have something to eat? Amen. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Well, so this is a body, it's not a spirit. It's a spiritual body. It's, come on, this is what we're going to have. We can eat. Apparently, we can walk through doors without opening them. What we have, what we will have, is a greater, higher law than the laws of physics that would prevent us, that would hold us in gravity or anything else. It's superior. It's superior to a block of wood that would stop us, a stone wall. A spiritual body. Greater than that. All right, one more example in the book of John, because this is recorded in John too. Let's look at what John said about it. John 20. John 20:19. And the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, so this would be what we call Sunday, when the doors were shut. Okay, doors were shut, doors were locked. When the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, you know who they mean by the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. I don't see anybody knocking on the door, nobody opening a door. He's there in the midst of them. Amen. And when he had said, so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were his disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Well, let's just read a little more. And when he had so said, he showed them, okay. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. So he's sending them out. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, were they baptized in the Holy Ghost at this time? No, because they had to be baptized in the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. But they had the Holy Ghost. You see, the preachers that preach that when we're saved, we have the Holy Ghost. Well, we do have the Holy Ghost, but we don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So the disciples who had witnessed the crucifixion, witnessed the resurrected Christ, believed in the resurrected Christ. Now they have the Holy Ghost. He breathed the Holy Ghost on them because he is a spiritual body. with the Holy Spirit within him, and he puts that Holy Spirit out on. They have it, but they don't have the fullness yet. Amen. Whosoever sins, ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. There's a whole study, a very interesting study right there. Amen. We have the power of forgiveness and the power to hold that forgiveness, which we ought not do. All right. I believe that's it for the. We're going to get into one more thing next time in Revelation 20, which really also speaks of resurrection. And I'll just read it now. We'll get into it later. The resurrection of the unjust. In the last part of verse 4, okay, these are those that received not the mark in their foreheads or their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again. So there's another resurrection at the end of the 1,000 years, lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So the first resurrection are those who are with him for this 1,000 years. And then the second resurrection, all right, and I'll go down to verse 12 here. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books. Now this is a resurrection of the unjust, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So there's another resurrection, but it's what Daniel said, a resurrection unto, what did he call it? Unto death or destruction, something like that. So I asked myself, well, what is the point of having another resurrection of the unjust if they're going to be cast into the lake of fire? Well, they're not going to be cast in as spirits, just pure spirits. There's some kind, not flesh, but there's some kind of spiritual body that's going to go into the lake of fire with them. This is what I understand. Now you tell me if I'm wrong in what I've said. I'll turn the recording off and have at it. Amen. Tell me what the Lord shows you.
I've got one comment to make and one question.
Hold on for a minute. Let me turn this off.
Okay.
I have to separate.